Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you today?
You know, I am fantastic.
I'm glad to hear it. Fantastic is the right word for today because I read your article and I got to say, it's fantastic. Part B is fantastic.
Really? What
yeah.
What is fantastic about it?
Well, I think that if I had read Part B prior to our last podcast, I don't think I would have given you such a hard time because you really expand on the information that you start off with in Part A.
Well, maybe you should burn Part A and just put up Part B. How's that?
Well, too late. We're going to keep Part A, and I think that they work together really well. Now, I just want to clarify one thing. I believe that what your point is in Part B, and you're really expanding, and you, actually in the article you even underline, bold, and italicize this word, because you don't have enough faith. That seems to be the key word in all of the story that you're giving here is the amount. It's a measurement almost.
Well, I really think that's what, that's something also that I've been taken on by a lot of people. Well, that's not what he said. Well, it is too what he said. It's exactly what Jesus said. It's the reason you can't do what all the things that he said we could do is because we don't have enough faith. How do you get it? Well, you only get enough faith to do what he did in this particular story, which is merely rebuked the demon that was in this little kid and left. And when I read this, I mean, when it really hit me, I was in heavily involved with a guy who was in the deliverance ministry, you know, getting rid of evil spirits. And, you know, we'd go through all these gyrations, and I'm saying, what's wrong here? I don't understand. We shouldn't have to take, you know, weeks to get rid of a spirit, you know. And then when I read Jesus' remarks here, all he did, I mean, the way in Matthew's verse, it was like Jesus rebuked the demon and the boy was cured instantly. What? You know, that really underscored that to me, and I still believe this today, that so much of what goes on is inspired by those dirty little critters that are over on the other side that actually have dominion over the physical realm. And unless you see that, you don't have the depth of understanding you need to be involved in healing that comes from being connected with the source.
You know, what I find interesting about this story that you're referring to is when Jesus gives counsel to the disciples, he says that to achieve what he just achieved, much fasting and prayer is required. In other words, you have to prepare for it. And so was Jesus speaking, in essence, as God? Or was Jesus speaking from, hey, I prayed, I fasted, that's why it was easy for me and not for you? Was Jesus telling
him?
Yeah.
You're touching on a bit of theology there, my friend.
I know it's dangerous territory, but I have to ask the question, is Jesus the man talking or is Jesus God talking? Well, there's a bit of both there, isn't there?
Well, I just wrote an article this morning for that new series you got me started on, which is Brad On, and has to do with that very issue. And what the issue is, and by the way, I've had some interesting email responses to it that are very positive back, and that issue is that we aren't as potent as we can be and as potent as Jesus said we would be if we don't realize we're supposed to be Jesus. You know, people resist that.
Well, I'm going to resist it a little bit too here, Brad. What do you mean by be Jesus? Well, my resistance is
I thought you started off this conversation a little positive. Oh, I love this article. Well, you do love that article, but you probably won't like the one I just wrote.
Well, maybe we should leave that aside. But your statement of being Jesus, well, I got to tell you, so far to date, I have not had a lot of success with that. But then again, I should say I haven't had a lot of success in being my perception of Jesus.
And that's the problem. We have a religious perception of who Jesus is, and it revolves around, well, he's the Son of God. You and I got into this, I think, in our last phone conversation, and you used the term, well, doesn't seem to be a very detriment of God. You weren't worthy enough. What kind of a person who is an adulterer and murderer is a worthy instrument of God, you know? And that's where we miss it. Jesus taught, the way he taught prayer was the way he prayed. And that's what we miss.
Mm.
I just hint at it. And is it point B that I hint at that? I'm terrible today. I thought I'd reread this just so I'd be prepared for this podcast. Indeed, how he said he prayed, there it is to persistently and impudently demand that we want to come into existence. Well, if Jesus felt the need to pray the way he taught us to pray, which is to demand persistently, that kind of implies that he did need something, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he did, you know, and so, but with this concept we have that Jesus is all man and all God, we miss that. And that's what he, how he trained his disciples. He trained them to fast and pray, and that's why they could, they were pretty successful when he sent out the 70. You know, they came back, well, wow, you know, even the demons were subject to our words. And he said, you know, don't get excited about that. Get excited about the fact that, you know, your names are written, you know, in the kingdom. And I've heard so many preachers go off on that, trying to deaden the effect of what he said, because you only get this kind of faith through much fasting and much prayer. And I go off a lot of times and say, well, look, you know, you better figure out what kind of prayer he's talking about. But you also better figure out that he said to go without food. And I don't know anybody that is involved in real spirit-connected, source-connected ministry that hasn't fasted sufficiently. And Jesus is the example.
Yeah.
Good night, he fasted for 40 days.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's Jesus. He was God. No, he was man, and that's why he had to fast to break through.
Yeah.
Well, you're in agreement with me.
You know, I am, because I have fasted, so I understand what happens when you do break through onto that other side. And it's usually about the third day when everything tends to change. So,
yep.
Yeah, I cannot argue with you. I concur. Fasting is a valuable exercise for just about anybody to go through that wants a better relationship with Source. It's my experience. I can't say how it works, why it works. I just can say that fasting works.
I did an article on fasting once.
Well, we ought to dig it up.
It wasn't bad. I'll dig it out and see if I can't find it somewhere. It's probably on either on Sigler's site or on Lighthouse Library.
Perfect. Well, we'll look for it there, or maybe you can write a new one based on how you feel today. But in the meantime, let's get back to Secret 4, Part B. Because people don't have enough faith, they're not able to be successful in their prayer life and connecting with the Source and being used by the Source.
Wow.
And you're...
Well said.
Well, and you say it, and you also end your article with, it really is that simple.
It is.
You're making it very easy for us, Brad, and I want to say thank you for making it that easy and reminding me to go in and what to ask for. I really appreciated the parts where you talk about what you know God's will is and what you don't know God's will is. You go and ask.
Yeah, that is key, because otherwise you're winding up being caught, trapped by people who say, can you pray for me? I want to be healed. You know, nowhere will you find any place. There, I'm getting riled up. And it's not at you for change. That's wonderful. Any place can you find where Jesus ever prayed for anybody to heal them?
No.
And I've written several times this truth. I used to have guys who would call me, could you come over and pray for somebody or other? No. You want to pray for somebody, you pray for them. Don't call me.
Yeah. Well, the one that usually ticks me off is the well-meaning brother or sister who comes to me and says, well, isn't God's will, and then they add a scripture tagged on the end of it. And my first natural gut instinct is to say, well, I don't know if that's God's will for me in this particular instance. But what people tend to do is they take one scripture and they generalize and say that it's true for everybody forever in regards to that one scripture. I'll give you an example. One time I read somewhere that, we are healed by his stripes or something like that.
Yeah, by his stripes we were healed.
Yeah, that's it.
Out of Isaiah.
Yeah, I decided to take that literally, and my eyesight is poor. And I decided, well, if I'm healed by his stripes, that includes my eyesight. I looked at my wife and I asked her what she thought about that. She says, well, give it a try. So we just happened to be at the beach and I dove into the water. I opened up my eyes and I allowed my contact lenses to wash out. And I said, God, if that's true, then I want my eyesight healed and I want it healed right now. Well, lo and behold, as I opened out my eyes underwater, I could see quite well. But as soon as I stood back up, I didn't have the advantage of the water to magnify my vision, and I couldn't see anymore. So I was a bit disappointed. But I decided that I was going to stand on the word, on the scripture, on what I believe I heard, and I did it anyway. And so I didn't drive the car for quite some time because I couldn't see very well. And my night vision was very poor, but I noticed that day by day, if I got up every morning and thanked God for my healing of my eyes, they got better, and they got better, and they got better. And I was so excited by this. Here it was 2 weeks later, and I could actually drive the car again. I could see far enough ahead, and I could see where I was going. I was just elated with the results I was getting. And some good Christian brother and sister of mine came to visit, and I told them my exciting story. And she looked at me and she says, now, brother, do you think God wants you to break the law? And I said, no, I don't think he does. And she says, well, pull out your driver's license. And I pulled it out. She says, does it say on there that you should have corrective lenses? I said, it sure does. Then she says, and if you're driving, you're breaking the law. God doesn't want you to break the law. Well, was I ever deflated? I gotta tell you, I had to fly out the next day. When I arrived at the major city, I immediately went to the eye doctor. I forget what they're called. I forget their actual title. But I went to the optometrist. Thank you. And I had my eyes tested, and lo and behold, my prescription went down dramatically from what my prescription was before. And the guy goes, well, what was your prescription before? And I told him, he says, well, I don't understand this. Because this is your prescription now. And he says, I'll write it up for you, but if you have any problems, come back and see me. Foolish me, I took those new pair of glasses that I got and I put them on. And I swear, within 3 days, my eyesight was right back to as bad as it was before.
I sent you an email this very morning about this very issue. That's kind of interesting. It's too bad you hadn't opened your email. You would have been healed all over again. A week or so ago, my license was expired, and I needed to go get another license. I passed the eye test. I'm almost 80 years. The first time, you know, that happened, I had been in Tennessee or Hawaii or someplace, and when my driver's license expired, and of course, on my Oregon license for years, it said corrective lenses required. Well, I got to Tennessee and I didn't need them, and I got to Hawaii and I didn't need it, and so I go back to Oregon. Of course, I'd been up all night doing some writing. I walk in, and of course, because my license had expired, gee, I gotta get a license. I happen to be in Oregon. Well, I'd had an Oregon license 10 or 12 years before. The guy says, he gets me up to the eye test thing, and okay, you're fine. And he said, I see here you used to have an Oregon license. Well, he went into the computer and dug it up, and there it was. I used to have corrective lenses. He said, will you come back here, please? And he gives me the eye test again. He said, I don't understand this. He said, do you want to explain it? I said, oh, it's a long story, sure. And I prayed about it, and I got a real check. No, don't tell it. So I said, you know, I don't think you even want to hear it. And he said, Probably not, but you pass, so it's fine.
That's great. Well, eyesight is just one of the things that we need to have enough faith for. I think there are many things in our lives that need to be healed. Physical discomforts are only one portion of that. Not that I'm demeaning anybody's physical discomfort, but there's a lot of emotional drama that I believe that you can overcome with enough faith through prayer and fasting as well.
Well, hurry up, and because it's on the Brad On series that I wrote the article for and sent it to you.
Okay.
And you'll post it and tell people right now that they need to go there because it'll give them the probable reason. And we don't want to get into that right now, but it's amazing. It's a scripture that I repeated it out of 10 different. I went up on in the internet and went on to this particular scripture, and I printed off 10 versions of this thing, you know, from different translations. I think you'll find it's amazing.
Perfect.
Not about eyesight, it's about something else.
But what I'm looking forward to now is there a part D? Or no, part C.
Yeah, there's a part C.
I want it.
I'll get it to you right away.
I'm excited.
I can't believe this. Yeah. Usually you're excited because you're all ticked off.
Well, maybe you're finally getting through to me. How about that?
Oh, wouldn't that be exciting? Because you get through to me. You get through to me almost every conversation we have.
Okay.
By the time we get done, I've sworn internally that I'll never talk to you again.
Okay, Brad. Well, I'm glad I got you all softened up for the kill next time we talk. So.
Okay. 4C is on its way.
Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon. Bye.